All right, good morning. Good morning. And I'm going to do a sound check this morning to make sure that my sound is okay. Are you guys able to hear me? Great. Thank you, Ken. And welcome, everyone, to today's gathering. We are at mid-October, and I am broadcasting today from a damp and cool Indianapolis, Indiana. I just recently relocated again. Life is definitely shifting for me in very positive ways. So very pleased and happy to be here, much closer to my family, where I'm able to see them more and communicate with them more. And speaking of communications, I want to release the mic and ask Lynn to play our opening song so that we can greet one another on the board. And yes, Jay, I am close to you now. Releasing the mic.
To the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
All right, and thank you very much, Lynn, for playing that opening song. It's good to see all. It's always wonderful to see everyone from different parts of the world. I think Carrie mentioned earlier in the comments here that we're all much closer than we think, and I tend to agree with you on that, Carrie. So good to see everyone here today. All right, so. Next up, we have our statement of purpose for Awakening Together. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So that is our statement of purpose here at Awakening Together. And as always, you can find out more about our purpose and core values out on our website. You know, one thing that came to mind for me recently with doing gatherings is that when we have new visitors, people who are in our sanctuary for the very first time, I'm getting to where I want to make a point of welcoming those of you who are with us today who either have either this is your first time here, or you've only been in maybe a couple of times to visit. So I just wanted to take a moment to welcome those of you who are not our normal crew, if you will. All right, so let's move on then to our announcements for this week. And we do have quite a few announcements here, so let's get started with those. First up, the sanctuary will be closed during our fall retreat so that our paid staff can attend. We will close the sanctuary beginning Sunday, October 22nd through Sunday, October 29th at 5 p.m. Eastern. That means we will be closed beginning next Sunday, and we will remain closed until 5 p.m. Eastern the following Sunday. One exception to the sanctuary closure is that we will open on Tuesday night, October 24th, for gentle healing. However, because the meal time at the retreat, gentle healing will be at a different time. The sanctuary will be open at 9 p.m. Eastern, and gentle healing will begin at 9:20 p.m. which is 6:20 Pacific. Gentle healing will only last about an hour that evening. So gentle healing will be the exception to the sanctuary closing next week. So do make note of that. And so our next announcement is that our movie this month is Revolver. For the Movie Watchers group. It is an interesting movie about two con men who take control of the life of a third con man by promising to save his life. Regina loves this movie. She sees it as a perfect teaching about how to let go of ego. The movie is somewhat violent. However, it's all just acting, and the teaching in this film is superb. Please watch Revolver and come to the movie discussion group on the last Sunday of this month, which will be October 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern, to share your clarity with us. All right, and next up we have our Awakening Together classes are now open for registration. The first is the Teachings of Inner Ramana. This class will be offered at two different times. One class, facilitated by Regina, will be offered on Tuesday mornings beginning at 11:30 Eastern. The second Inner Ramana class, facilitated by Jacqueline, will be offered on Wednesday evenings at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Understanding Purification is also open for registration. This class is a study of Michael Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. Understanding Purification will be on Thursday evenings beginning at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and it will be facilitated by Jay McCormick. Both the Inner Teachings of Inner Ramana and the Understanding Purification begin in November. So for full details, you can go to awakening-together.org and click on the retreats and classes there and look under the classes menu if you'd like more details on those upcoming classes. Okay, so this evening in our sanctuary at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, tonight we have a special satsang event. Reverend Jacqueline Eckert will interview Mary Reed. Jacqueline interviewed Mary for the first time in January. This is our second Satsang with Mary. Mary Reed is an accidental mystic who, following 11 years of profound involuntary visions and insights into divine realms, surrendered her executive life in Washington, D.C. to explore her spiritual gifts in a remote Buddhist nunnery in India. Tonight, Mary will share an updated message of clarity. And so tonight's Satsang with Mary Reed will be followed by our weekly Satsang with Craig Holiday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then also, you can join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern for our new weekly group meditation. And I'm wondering if someone could maybe post in the room here on the group meditation, will that be facilitated by anyone, or is that just an open platform for the group meditation? Oh, it's a recording. Thank you, Ken. So it looks like we'll be playing a recording for the group meditation there. So if you're interested in that, that'll be starting Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so, and I do have just one other announcement here. The Minister Subcommittee, we are starting to look at the 2018 schedule for Mystery Ministers. So if you're interested and would like to sign up for a slot for 2018, you can email us at atministercorner@gmail.com. All right, so that wraps up our announcements for this week. As always, we have quite a bit of interesting things going on. I'm looking forward to the interview this evening again with Mary Reed with that updated message of clarity there. So I'm going to release this mic and ask Lynn to play a song, and I will rejoin us with prayer after that song.
There are many ways of being in the circle we call life. A wise man seeks an answer, burns his candle through the night. Is a jewel just a pebble that found a way to shine? A hero's blood more righteous than a hobo's sip of wine? Did I speak to you one morning on some distant world away? Did you save me from an arrow? Did you lay me? Were we brothers on a journey? Did you teach me how to run? Were we broken by the waters? Did I lie you in the sun? I dreamed you were a prophet. I was a mountain in the wind. I dreamed you knelt and touched me with flowers. I awoke with this, a flower in my hand. I know that love seems all the infinite in one, in the brotherhood of creatures, who the Father, who the Son. The vision of your goodness will sustain me through the cold. Take my hand now to remember when you find yourself alone. You're never alone, and the Spirit fills the darkness of the heavens. Fill the endless yearning of the soul. It lives within a star too far to dream of. It lives within each part and is the whole. It's the fire.
All right, thank you, Lynn, and if you would all join me for prayer. So the first thing I think I want to say in prayer here is thank you for this day. We have another day before us. Where we can learn, grow, come together, and experience this life. So that is what's most present in the mind right now, is deeply grateful for another day, another opportunity. I'm also grateful for each of you. Your consistency, your willingness, your devotion to your path and your journey. I give this gathering today over to Holy Spirit, trusting that the words that need to be said will be said, and what needs to be heard and received will be heard and received. I empty myself of my own desires, wishes, and I come into this gathering with an open heart and open mind. Offering the message that I've been given to learn from, to grow from. And again, deeply grateful for this opportunity to share and have this experience with all of you. So it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead now and take a look at our gathering, the topic for today. Our topic is Gifts in Strange Packaging, and the reading for today is Peace Pilgrim, her life and her work in her words. The reading is from chapter 6, Solving Life's Problems. And my reader for today is Kathy Smith. So Kathy, I'm going to release this mic to you and ask you to read for us chapter 6, Solving Life's Problems.
Thank you, Reverend Gloria. In your prayer, you just shared gratitude for devotion that each of us has to a path. And of course, Peace Pilgrim was devoted to a path as well. So I'm grateful to be reading from this book, which I haven't read in years and years and years. So chapter 6, Solving Life's Problems. The purpose of problems is to push you toward obedience to God's laws, which are exact and cannot be changed. We have the free will to obey them or disobey them. Obedience will bring harmony. Disobedience will bring you more problems. Likewise, when societies get out of harmony, problems develop within the society, collective problems. Their purpose is to push the whole society toward harmony. Individuals can discover that they can not only grow and learn through individual problem solving, they can learn and grow through collective problem solving. I often say I've run out of personal problems. Then, every once in a while, a little one presents itself somewhere. But I hardly recognize it as a problem because it seems so insignificant. Actually, I want to do all my learning and growing now by helping to solve collective problems. There was a time when I thought it was a nuisance to be confronted with a problem. I tried to get rid of it. I tried to get somebody else to solve it for me. But that was long ago. But that time was long ago. It was a great day in my life when I discovered the wonderful purpose of problems. Yes, they have a wonderful purpose. Some people wish for a life of no problems. But I would never wish such a life for any of you. What I wish for you is the great inner strength to solve your problems meaningfully and grow. Problems are learning and growing experiences. A life without problems would be a barren existence without the opportunity for spiritual growth. I once met a woman who had virtually no problems. I was on a late night radio program in New York City. This woman called the station and wanted me to come to her home. I was intending to spend the night at the bus station, so I said, okay. She sent her chauffeur for me, and I found myself in a millionaire's home. So she sent her chauffeur for me, and I found myself in a millionaire's home talking to a middle-aged woman who seemed like a child. She was so immature, and I wondered at her immaturity until I realized that the woman had been shielded from all problems by a group of servants and lawyers. She had never come to grips with life. She had not had problems to grow on, and therefore had not grown. Problems are blessings in disguise. Were I to solve problems for others, they would remain stagnant. They would never grow. It would be a great injustice to them. My approach is to help with cause rather than effect. When I help others, it is by instilling within them the inspiration to work out problems by themselves. If you feed a man a meal, you only feed him for a day. But if you teach a man to grow food, you feed him for a lifetime. It is through solving problems correctly that we grow spiritually. We are never given a burden unless we have the capacity to overcome it. If a great problem is set before you, this merely indicates that you have the great inner strength to solve a great problem. There is never really anything to be discouraged about, because difficulties are opportunities for inner growth, and the greater the difficulty, the greater the opportunity for growth. Difficulties with material things often come to remind us that our concentration should be on spiritual things instead of material things. Sometimes difficulties of the body come to show that the body is just a transient garment, and that the reality is the indestructible essence which activates the body. But when we can say, "Thank God for problems which are sent for our spiritual growth," they are problems no longer. They then become opportunities. Let me tell you a story of a woman who had a personal problem. She lived constantly with pain. It was something in her back. I can still see her arranging the pillows behind her back so it wouldn't hurt quite so much. She was quite bitter about this. I talked to her about the wonderful purpose of But when we can say, "Thank God for problems which are sent for our spiritual growth, they are problems no longer," then they become opportunities. Let me tell you of a story of a woman who had a personal problem. She lived constantly with pain. It was something in her back. I can still see her arranging the pillows behind her back so it wouldn't hurt quite so much. She was quite bitter about this. I talked to her about the wonderful purpose of problems in our lives, and I tried to inspire her to think about God instead of her problems. I must have been successful to some degree, because one night after she had gone to bed, she got to thinking about God. "God regards me, this little grain of dust, as so important that he sends me just the right problems to grow on," she began thinking. And she turned to God and said, "Oh, dear God, thank you for this pain through which I may grow closer to thee." Then the pain was gone, and it has never returned. Perhaps that's what it means when it says, "In all things be thankful." Maybe more often we should pray the prayer of thankfulness for our problems. Prayer is a concentration of positive thoughts. Many common problems are caused by wrong attitudes. People see themselves as the center of the universe and judge everything as it relates to them. Naturally, you won't be happy that way. You can only be happy when you see things in proper perspective. All human beings are of equal importance in God's sight and have a job to do in the divine plan. And that is the end of that piece called Solving Life's Problems. And I will give up the mic.
All right, and thank you very much, Kathy, for reading from Peace Pilgrims there with Solving Life's Problems. Okay, so I want to share our core value, our Awakening Together core value, before we get down into what I have to share about solving life's problems. And the core value that I'm referring to today is core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So that is an Awakening Together core value number 5. All right, so let's talk about problems then, shall we? All right, so, you know, the first question that comes to mind for me after I read Peace Pilgrims, that piece there, is what do we really know about problems? And what I came up with is that they're based in perception. You know, what could seem like a problem to me could be viewed as absolutely nothing by someone else. As an example of a parking space, if I were to park a mile away from the entrance to a building or to a store, that may not be so much of a problem for me, but for someone who has, say, a cast and crutches, that becomes a significant problem. Now, you know, I know they have handicapped spaces and everything, but if that were to happen, that would be considered a problem for that. So groups can also hold the same perception. It doesn't have to be just individually based. It can be a group of people who hold the exact same perception, and they label an event or a circumstance as a problem. But the real kicker there is that perceptions are changeable from one second to the next, you know, and the exact opposite is true about reality. Reality is unchanging and it's unchangeable. So I think for me, seeing the difference between really examining the difference between what problems are and what reality is was helpful for me in dealing with everyday life. And I'm sure, like I said, we all have different perceptions about life. You know, if there's 7 billion people, we have 7 billion perceptions about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. So it's easy to see why we would have so many quote unquote problems in the world. You know, in that piece that Kathy read, Peace Pilgrim also talked about collective, solving problems as a collective. So I want to look closer at what she was saying about what problems are, and I'm going back to that reading where she says here that problems are learning and growing experiences. A life without problems would be a barren existence without the opportunity for spiritual growth. And she also said that the purpose of problems is to push us toward the obedience of God's law. And when I came to that part in the reading, I really paused on the God's law, right? Because I felt that if I don't really understand or have any idea or any insight into what God's laws really are, then how would I know that I'm being obedient to them? How would I know that, you know, that I'm aligned with that obedience to God's law? So when I thought about God's law, I went to the Course to look at what the Course had to say about what God's law is. And I went to lesson 76 in the Course. And one of the primary reasons why I referred to the Course, because the first thing that came into my mind when I read about the obedience to God's law was an excerpt from the Course, that we are under no law but God's. So that just, you know, drew me to the Course to look at, again, what are the laws of God? So in lesson 76, it says in lesson 76, or let's see here, many of the laws we have set up for ourselves are senseless and have imprisoned us. These personal laws are referred to more as rituals than law, and that they indeed are madness. And in that same lesson, it goes on to say there that there is no loss under the laws of God. Payment is neither given nor received. Exchange cannot be made. There are no substitutes, and nothing is replaced by something else. God's laws forever give and never take. So after I sat with lesson 76, you know, I just contemplated what God's laws really mean. After I read that, of course, I took in the information from lesson 76, as well as all of the knowledge that I've gained, you know, over time from looking at spiritual truths. And after contemplating that, I just felt like all is all. In that lesson 76, what I just read, there are no substitutes. Nothing is replaced by something else. God's laws forever give and never take. So I could see that the law of God really was pointing to the law of one power. So for, you know, after I looked at that, I thought, you know, to give leverage to anything else over that one power that exists, that is God, is to say that God is less than God, you know, from my perspective there. And Joel Goldsmith, from The Infinite Way, he has a wonderfully powerful teaching on YouTube about that one power. He does a phenomenal job of explaining what that one power is and how it's not possible for anything else that we experience in life to overshadow or outweigh that one power. It would absolutely diminish, you know, what God is. So God's law is love, basically, you know? And it's what we are. It's the essence of who we are and what we are. And it just, you know, the more I read and when I'm reading to share, I read in a different way. I don't know how to explain that part of it other than to say that there's somewhat of a different, a more detached, if you will. I'm not reading for my own, it doesn't feel that way. It's more detached when I'm reading from a perspective of sharing or relaying what I'm reading. But this as I'm studying and looking at this information, it reminded me of the Ten Commandments, where Jesus said that of those commandments, the greatest of those was to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, restating the power of love, the one power that is, you know, what we know to be God. So I also looked at chapter 15 in A Course in Miracles. And in chapter 15, it said that when the Son of God accepts the laws of God as what he gladly wills, it is impossible that he be bound or limited in any way. In this instant, he is free as God would have him be. And I was actually reading that particular excerpt as Kim was playing the opening music for today, and the song that he was playing at that time happened to be Free, the Train song. So I just thought that was just a perfect combination there of truth, really. It's impossible that we be bound or limited the moment we accept that God's law is exactly our will as well. You know, and that we're one with that will. You know, as we gradually accept this perfection of God's law, problems become less evident. You know, Peace Pilgrim pointed that out in the reading, and I want to touch back on what she said about the lady she helped, who had been shielded from problems because of her money. She said that person lacked maturity and they had never come to grips with life because they had no problems to grow from. And I thought that was interesting because I think probably the vast majority of my life I've either tried to avoid problems, right, or run away from them or solve them even. And this slightly different perspective that Peace Pilgrim is offering us here on how to really view problems as absolute opportunities for spiritual growth. And if we go even one level deeper than that, who is the I who would even have a problem? But at the very surface level, when we're faced with issues, you know, perhaps before we get down into that deeper level of who is the I who would even have a problem, you know, depending on the magnitude of what you're facing in any given moment, you know, if I have a small thing come up, you know, it's fairly easy for me to brush that off. That, you know, but if something of greater magnitude comes up, it may take going through those levels of being grateful for what's showing up here now and trusting that all is well, and ultimately being able to get to that place where we're saying, who's the I, who has the problem? Because as I shared in our in my last gathering as well, you know, the place where we start from, you know, as far as how we're seeing our perception, you know, how we're viewing the world and who we are in relation to what's happening, you know. It all works together. It all comes together and it all becomes exactly what it's supposed to be. And being in flow with what's happening, going with the flow with what's happening, is always our best option. And I'm not trying to become a poster child for problems today, okay? I'm not wanting to really highlight that. This isn't about advocating for problems. It's about seeing problems for what they really are. And because I know that we have all of these different perceptions and all of these different views about how things look or whether or not they're a problem at all, then it seems logical, especially for me where I am in life, because things are coming constantly changing. As I mentioned earlier, when I asked what a problem really is, problems change. Life is constantly changing. Things are constantly in flux. Nothing is static. Nothing is standing still. Not even the trees outside are standing still. Everything is in motion. So it should probably come as no surprise that because everything is in motion, because we all have these different perspectives and perceptions and viewpoints, how easily a problem can be perceived. And my goal today is just to shed light, or, you know, however that needs to be said, on you looking at every single issue, every single problem, quote unquote, as an opportunity for growth and spiritual maturity. And ultimately, you know, the opportunity to awaken, because that's the path. That's how we get there, you know, by learning to accept life as it comes, learning not to be judgmental or labeling everything or the emotions that come with that, right? Because once you get into that spiral of problems, naturally you begin to experience the emotions that are attached to whatever you're going through, you know? So it's just I think it's important to really look at our problems, as Peace Pilgrim is pointing out here, with that sense that it's an opportunity for growth and material or spiritual maturity, not material maturity at all. You know, I've, you know, as I mentioned, I've undergone like a lot of changes here this year. Really, this year has been a really phenomenal year in terms of changes and activity and movement and, you know, all of these things going on. So quite naturally, I've experienced, you know, various levels of roller coaster problems, you know, along the way. Having just recently launched a small venture that I'm working on now, a lot of on top of all the changes that I'm undergoing, you know, a lot of self-doubt came in about what I'm doing and the path that I'm on and, you know, all of these different things, as I'm sure, you know, you all are having your own experience out there as well. But, you know, it really made me reevaluate what my perceptions are. You know, I'm always, because we're on this spiritual path, you're always looking at your thoughts. You know, you're always geared to look at what you're thinking and how those thoughts are impacting your experience, right? Because if we're suffering at all, if there's any suffering going on in our experience, then we're believing something that's obviously not true. So the only way to uncover those beliefs is to examine our thoughts. And so I've had the chance to do that very much, and in doing so, it really highlighted this whole subject of problems and how I'm looking at what a problem is. You know, I can remember being in my first MPP class when I started the minister preparation program here at Awakening Together. And I recall it was a small class. There was just, I think, three of us, or maybe four, in that class. And Jay McCormick was our facilitator at that time. And I can remember being, like, unbelievably nervous. Like, I could hardly speak. And even when I did, you know, my voice was shaky. My throat was in my... my heart was in my throat, and it took me a ton of classes. I mean, it felt like a ton. It probably wasn't really a ton in reality, but it felt like a ton for me to come to a place where I was feeling comfortable, where I was feeling less, I guess, like, exposed. You know, the moment you put yourself out in a public situation, you know, it just made me very nervous, you know, and it really showed me how much, in looking back, of course, you know, retrospectively looking back on that time, how strong, like, the I am bad belief is or was for me. And it's not, you know, I'm not saying that belief is healed in me. I'm just saying it's not as strong as it was then, obviously. You know, over time, and of course with the guidance of Holy Spirit and my own willingness to heal, as well as feeling welcomed here in this space, over time those things have you know, subsided. You know, I don't have as much nervousness, you know, when I'm getting up to speak. But when I recently, the reason why I told that story is because recently when I went through this whole launching thing, all of that seemed to come back up to some degree. You know, like it took me right back to my very first MPP class where I was extremely nervous and I couldn't speak. And, you know, I was almost right back in that place, you know. And so I question that. I question what is this? You know, is this the I am bad thing again? Or, you know, is it the fact that I'm exposing myself again and placing myself in a vulnerable place where, you know, where I could potentially be judged, you know, bottom line. So, you know, in looking at all of that is, again, how I came to look and contemplate this whole notion of problems and perceptions. I want to go back to another part of what Peace Pilgrim shared in the reading today. Difficulties with material things often come to remind us that our concentration should be on spiritual things instead of mere material things. And then she also said there that sometimes difficulties of the body come to show that the body is just a transient garment, and that the reality is the indestructible essence which activates the body. Here we are again talking about the truth. The truth is always true. We're being nudged back here toward our wholeness. And it brings our true desire into view here with this statement that she's making. If we were to focus our concentration on those material things, and then she also mentioned further down in that reading about I was trying to find it here in the reading, but there was another section where she mentioned in regards to the ego, having that our concentration on things of this world instead of on things of God, that we can't be happy that way, because that's where it goes back to what I was saying about change and flux. Things are always changing. So if we're placing our bet on that which is changing, you know, that which is constantly changing versus that which is changeless, you know, she said it earlier in that reading that we can't be happy that way because of those changes that are constantly going to take place there. So we're reminded here to stay focused on the changeless. I shared recently as well from Michael Langford's work about increasing our desire for truth, increasing that desire to know truth and to allow that truth to come in. And how Michael Langford said that was our single greatest asset. You know, we have, in terms of our spiritual growth, you know, our single greatest asset would be to cultivate that desire for truth. The other thing I wanted to briefly touch on that Peace Pilgrim talked about there was that how her perspective about problems shifted from seeing them as a nuisance and wanting to be free. What she said there was, I often say I've run out of personal problems. Then every once in a while, a little one presents itself somewhere, but I hardly recognize it as a problem because it seems so insignificant. So two things about that statement there. The fact that she's calling problems A little one comes in every now and again. And then also she's using insignificant, right? It's evident in that statement that she's done what she's talking about in the part that I just read prior to that, which was shifting from focusing on that which is material to that which is spiritual. Because her focus is on the spiritual, when a problem comes in, it's little and insignificant to her. So, of course, as I read those lines, my ego mind spoke up and said, you know, yeah, you know, her problems are little and insignificant, but yours are big and overbearing. So, you know, again, getting back to that whole perspective thing, you know, the mind will come in and try to convince us that the truth is only true for those people, you know, or for that person, but not me. The truth doesn't apply to this being. That's what the mind will attempt to convince us of, and probably more often than not, right? That doesn't apply to me, you know? But I laughed, actually, when the mind, you know, when that was the response, because, you know, I am truly beginning to embrace and accept that I am the holy free son of God. And as such, there's no lack in God, and we're under no laws but God's, right? So the moment I begin to speak in that way, I'm shifting from focusing on the material things in life to the spiritual things in life. From the changing to the unchangeable. So it's quite natural and possible that you would move from not being happy or not being okay with what's going on to a place of peace. So I've just recommitted, you know, my willingness to be in constant communion with truth. It's evident to me after having lived almost 50 years that, and having gone through this whole, this spiritual journey, that what Peace Pilgrim is saying here today is profoundly true. The more that I focus on what's happening in this material world, trying to change people or circumstances or solving problems, the more likely I am to suffer. The more likely I am to not be focused on what truly matters, on the reality of what I am and what God is. So I'd like to close with another excerpt here from Peace Pilgrim, which I thought was the best part of that entire reading. So I want to absolutely make sure to highlight what she said here in her reading, and I'll read this. We are never given a burden unless we have the capacity to overcome it. If a great problem is set before you, this merely indicates that you have the great inner strength to solve a great problem. There is never really anything to be discouraged about, because difficulties are opportunities for inner growth, and the greater the difficulty, the greater the opportunity for growth. I almost named this gathering, titled this gathering today, The Problem with Problems. But I thought at the end of the day, you know, that's probably too much on problems. You know, that's too many problematic words, I guess. But at the end of the day, I do thank God for my problems. Just as Peace Pilgrim pointed out, I'm grateful for the things that have shown up specifically tailored for me, for my growth. And I wish the same for each of you. If you're ever, you know, in front of a less than pleasant situation. All right, so I feel complete with what I have to share today. I'm going to ask Barb to post a link in the room for donations to Awakening Together. If you're so inclined, you can click on that link. It'll take you out to our website where you can make a donation to Awakening Together. Your donations support this organization and help us to continue to share and bring information forward. So greatly appreciated there. I'm also going to ask Lynn to play us a song to contemplate what I've shared today. And looks like we'll have a few moments for open sharing if anyone would like to share anything after the song. So Lynn, if you would, please play that song. And love to you all.
Imagine a month of Sundays, each one a cloudy day. Imagine the moment the sun came shining through. Imagine that ray of sunshine as you. Remember your darkest hour, with dawn still far away. Remember the way that you longed for morning's light. Think of your sun as a candle lit the night. Make believe this is the first day, everything all brand new. Make believe that the sun is your own lucky star. And then understand the kind of gift you are. The gift you are. Like the very first breath of spring. The gift you are. All the joy that if you are all of our dreams come true. Imagine a month.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Are you able to hear me now? Okay, great. All right, so I was just saying that we are coming to the end of our gathering for today. Next up, we have our fellowship hour, which is led by Reverend Ken and Reverend Rebecca. So we will be starting that shortly here. So if you'd like to hang around and share during the open fellowship time, you are absolutely welcome to do so. Thank you for your comments on the board. I always appreciate that as well. And so I'm going to release this mic for a song to close out our gathering for this week. And thank you all for this opportunity to share here today.
Beloved, till your soul is released. Know you are loved. Rest in peace. Dream your sweet dreams. Till your soul is released.
Dream your sweet dreams.